This is an introduction to the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to be basing some of the information that I talk about from a book from John MacArthur. It's this book right here. So it is John MacArthur, Luke, the Savior of the World, from the John MacArthur Bible Study Series. John MacArthur has a lot of books on Luke, as I found out. So the specific one I'm using is this one. This is his Bible study one. So this one actually is just the text from the Gospel of Luke. That's what's in this book, the actual just chapter after chapter of the book of Luke. And then in the margins, he'll have explanatory information to help you further understand the chapters. And before each chapter, he'll also give you context and background and any other interpretive aids. So I'm going to be pulling some of the information from that book. So let's dive right in. Luke was a Gentile, and he was a physician, and he was a traveling partner of Paul. Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. So taken together, that's a pretty decent portion of the New Testament, and Luke shows us really the birth of Christianity, starting from the birth of Christ through the early church and on to the imprisonment of Paul. I'm going to adjust this a little bit. So Luke was a Gentile, as I mentioned, and he's the only Gentile to have written any book of the Bible. So that's really interesting that not only is he the only Gentile to write any book of the Bible, but that he also wrote this book that really gives you this kind of wide span look of Christianity. So it's very interesting. The Gospel of Luke was written somewhere between AD 60 and AD 61. Experts come to that determination based on a couple of pieces of historic data. For instance, Luke prophesies about the destruction of Jerusalem, but he never goes back to mention either in the Gospel of Luke or in Acts, oh yeah, and by the way, that destruction finally happened. So it certainly leads one to believe that the destruction of Jerusalem had not happened at the time he wrote that, because if he prophesied about it, it would be logical to come back around to that and then state that it actually happened, especially in the book of Acts, because in the book of Acts, he really goes through a lot of detail about what was happening in the early church, so it would have made sense for him to really include it there. And the destruction of the temple happened in AD 70. So we know Luke was written before AD 70. The second piece of information is the persecution under Nero. So under Nero, he instituted this great persecution of the early Christians. It's the one that we always hear about the lions and the burnings and just some of the really heartbreaking persecution that was happening against the Christian believers during that time. That certainly would have been included, especially in the book of Acts. In Acts, Luke spends a lot of time talking about the persecution of the church. We see the martyrdom of Stephen. We see all the other persecution. We see the imprisonment of Paul. The book of Acts is all about the early church and both the spreading of the gospel as well as the persecution they were under, and we see some of the early martyrs. So most certainly, if the great persecution under Nero happened, Luke certainly would have discussed that in Acts. And that persecution started in AD 64. And so that leads scholars to believe that the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, and Acts were written prior to that. So they date the book of Luke being written between AD 60 and AD 61. Now, Jesus was crucified somewhere between AD 30 and AD 33. So this is significant because that means we're seeing just 30 years between the crucifixion of Christ and the writing of the Gospel of Luke. So it'd be very difficult for any of this to have really been embellished, distorted, or falsified. And the reason being is because this didn't happen in a spread out world. This happened really just pretty much in the area of Judea. And so that's a very small area. I mean, people walked back and forth between a lot of these regions. So people were alive when Jesus was ministering. You figure a child as young as 12 to 14 would have been old enough to remember information that they experienced, and certainly someone as old as 30 would have still been alive 30 years later. So you have a big stretch of people anywhere between the ages of, I'll even be generous, 14 and 30 would have still been alive. That's a lot of people to remember the events. So if Luke wrote this gospel and the early Christians started distributing this information and sharing it, and it wasn't true or it was at all embellished or distorted, people would have said, oh, wait a minute, I was there. I was there when he fed people with the fishes and the loaves, and that's not how it happened. Or I heard the Sermon on the Mount. I was sitting there. He didn't say that. You're making that up. Or I was at the trial, or I was at the crucifixion. People were there. And certainly in this small area of Judea, if they had written this gospel and start discussing it and distributing it and reading it, people would have been like, no, that's not true. I remember that. So it gives a lot of credence to the fact that this information had to be pretty accurate or there would have been pushback. So diving into the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke is for the outcast. I love that. Especially today, there's so much anxiety and so many people are feeling in some ways isolated and on all sides. You know, people are feeling like either their values are being misunderstood or their values are being attacked or their values aren't being appreciated or being misrepresented. I mean, just everyone is feeling so much angst and so much anxiety. And in some ways, I think it makes a lot of us feel like outcast. It really can. So I think this is a perfect book for us to study right now because Luke shows that Jesus was for the outcast. He talks about Jesus' great love of women. And you have to understand, in this society, women were second-class citizens. I believe it took the testimony of two women, I believe, to equal the testimony of one man in court. And there were issues of women with property rights and just a lot of different challenges that women in a lot of ways were really second-class citizens. But Luke shows that the women were central and essential to Jesus' life and ministry. And so he just really gives a high profile to the role of women in the life of Christ. Luke's also for the outcast in looking at Gentiles. And you have to understand, Gentiles in the Jewish mind at that time were pretty yucky people. I mean, they had disgusting eating habits, disgusting personal habits, because the Jewish people had such a high standard in being careful of what they ate, and they had all these rituals, cleanings, and things like this. So Gentiles were barbarians in some ways in their minds. And so it was significant for Luke to show Jesus' compassion and love for Gentiles. It also shows his compassion and love for Samaritans. Samaritans were half-breeds, and they were despised. What happened is when Israel and Judah were conquered, they were taken out. Some of the people were taken out of the land, and foreign people were brought into the land. Samaritans are the Jewish people that intermarried with those foreigners. So they intermarried with the foreigners, and they mixed religions. They had this hybrid version of Judaism that was really perverted with idol worship and partly Judaism. And like I said, they were intermixed with these foreigners. So they were despised. In fact, they'd say some Jewish people would increase the length of their journey and go out of their way to go around Samaria instead of crossing through Samaria. They would actually increase the length and duration of very difficult journeys. Remember, they weren't in a car or a train, you know? So you'd think you'd be anxious to get there if you were traveling by foot or something like that across these hot, dusty roads. But they despised the Samaritans so much they would go out of their way to avoid even going through their cities. They were despised. But Jesus shows his love for Samaritans. Luke shows Jesus' love and compassion for women and for children and for sinners. You know, again, it wasn't about, again, it was easy for especially some of the Pharisees and even the Jewish people to look at themselves as special because they kept the law. So they were holy. And so why would Jesus show compassion for sinners? Because they weren't keeping the law. But Jesus did. And not just sinners, but tax collectors. Now, tax collectors aren't like today. You know, today you fill out a form and that form objectively tells you how much taxes you owe. You may not want to pay it, but that's what you owe. Then the tax collectors were in fact fleecing people and taking advantage of people and preying on people. So they would collect far more than what was required by law, and they would line their pockets with the additional to make themselves wealthy. But Jesus still had compassion for tax collectors. And the reason we see Jesus has compassion for all these people is because the central theme that Luke shows in Jesus' mission is that Christ came to save and to minister to those that were aware of their need. Christ came to minister to those that were aware of their need, to those that knew they needed him. I would like to read for you a scripture from Luke chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So if you think you're a good person, you can't receive Christ. Okay? You can only receive Christ when you're aware of your need, when you understand that you don't meet God's standards. You don't get to pick the standards. God picks the standards. You may think you're meeting your standards, that's fine, but you don't meet God's standards. And it's only until you admit that you fall short of God's standards that you can understand that you have a need for his salvation. You have to come to him in humility, aware of your weakness and aware of your need. And only through humility can you accept him. Let me read Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. If you're not lost, you don't need Christ. Save yourself. Save yourself. If you're not lost, if you think you meet all the standards, then save yourself. But if you are lost, if you have need, if you don't meet God's standards, then Christ came for you. Luke highlights this truth, and he shows that truly salvation is justification through faith. And it's only through faith. And I'm going to stop here. We're going to dig deeper into that as we go through the gospel. But I just want to say that this is the ideal book to read as we head into Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, because Luke is really a special book in this regard. He spends a lot of time stressing and kind of laying out Jesus' relentless progression to the cross. We're going to see that in Luke. He just keeps showing us as Jesus is progressing and going and walking towards that cross. He gives a detailed narrative of Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem. And in this narrative, there's some information that we only see in Luke that's really unique to the book of Luke. So this is a special book to read as we head into Resurrection Sunday. Another reason to read the book of Luke is to truly know Christ in an intimate way. You know, it's one thing, many of us have read Luke. I've read Luke. Many of us read Luke. We've read all the Gospels. And we can say, well, we know Jesus, right? We know his attributes. We know his personality. We know he was humble. We know he was wise. We know he was holy. We know he spoke truth boldly, that he always stood and defended God's honor. We know that he was loving, that he was compassionate. But that doesn't mean we know Jesus. And I'll give you an example. I could tell you my husband is, let's see, he's introverted. He's a little on the quiet side. But when he does speak, he's really thoughtful when he speaks. He thinks things through very carefully. And he speaks when he has something of significance to say. He's a very intelligent man, and he's a very wise man. So that's fine. You can tell a couple stories about my husband. But do you know him? Does that mean you know my husband? Because you might know a couple of stories about him or a couple of his attributes. The question is, does that mean you know my husband? The answer would be, you know, probably not. You know someone when you intimately walk with them day after day. And it's that intimate daily walk of sharing their life and sharing your life that really makes you know someone. And you know what? As we have been studying through the Old Testament, we have been going really slowly and just really digging in to all the chapters, not as narrative, not to just gain theological knowledge, but to try to understand what this tells us about the character and nature of God. And it helps us know God. It's helped us know God so much more intimately. So let's look at Luke the same way. This is such an opportunity to truly daily meditate on God's word, to daily meditate on the life and actions of teachings of Christ, so we can really experience his character, not just intellectually know it. If I can intellectually list a few of his character traits, but that I'm experiencing it, and that I know him, and I'm walking with him in an intimate, close way daily through life. So join us, and I just look forward to really digging into the Gospel of Luke. And I hope you do too. Thank you.